Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a new media show number 120. And a little different format today. Rob Greenlee, my co-host, he is flying back from Nashville, Tennessee. He was at Proclaim 16 along with some of my team members last week. So Rob will not be joining us. So I will be, hosting solo, but I've got my good friend, Mr. Mike Dell, that's decided to jump in and conversate this morning. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I talked to our team down there a couple nights ago, and they were having a pretty good time, and sounds like it was fairly productive down at Proclaim 16.
Yeah, I think Angelo is back catching up on email and stuff in Slack, and I can see, you know, I had a whole bunch of stuff stacked up for him, so he's going through my list, and I think not real happy this morning. But
I'll give him my stack tomorrow.
Yeah, it might be nice to wait. But what I really wanted to do a couple of things today. Really, today is going to be an open format. Want to be able to answer podcasters' questions if they have questions on really anything podcasting, anything they need help on. Because you know, Mike, you run the podcast help desk, not. You actually have that as a, you know, a show and you are our lead, support person at Blueberry. So if you can't answer it and I can't answer it, then, we'll have to bug Angelo for it. So any type of questions in podcasting, PowerPress, Blueberry, anything like that. Also, I want to talk about, the podcast awards, and I'm almost dreading this conversation, but, I will try to kind of give some people some updates on what's going on and what I've decided to do moving forward on that. Mike, I thought I divested myself of that thing.
Divested yourself of what?
I thought I had divested myself of the podcast awards.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sorry, I was typing in the chat room. That's the problem with having a chat room. You get distracted.
Yeah. So I had thought I had divested myself of, but let me give you guys a little background without going too much into the dirty details. So in late 2014, New Media Expo approached me to buy the podcast awards, which I was very favorable with. And we wrote up a term sheet for the awards for what was going to, you know, what was going to happen. And without really divulging anything within that term sheet, let's just say the term sheet was not completed. Completed. Yeah. Multiple attempts to try to reach out to the New Media Expo team, find out what they were doing, has resulted in essentially no emails, no communication. So it's just, you know, I'm as much in the dark as anyone else. Meanwhile, I started getting emails. Literally, I think I've got about 600 emails over the past, maybe 12 months. Asking me what was going on, what was going to happen, what was going to become of the awards now that New Media Show is no longer apparently doing a show. Again, this is, you know, no one really knows the future of the New Media Expo. And legally, I still hold ownership of the podcast awards because of that term sheet not being completed. And, you know, I could have done a couple of things. I could have just let it die on the vine and walked away and let the website say where it was going to stay, or turn it over to a group of people. And it seems everyone that I talked to about taking over as a group, you know, I just couldn't get assurances that the spirit of the awards, which was very important to me, would stay the way they were, and having, you know, that's what I had negotiated out with the other group. So what I'm going to do and what I made a decision to do, based really on podcasters, you know, the literally the 500-600 emails that I got, plus Facebook, Twitter, people just, what's going on? What's going on? Can you please do something? You know, decided to go ahead and strap this thing on at least for a couple more years. But things had to change in a big, big way. Structure, website, rules, all that stuff has to change. And it's well overdue. It's what I was expecting the new, or what was supposed to be the new owner to do. And at this point, I'm kind of open to really a lot of suggestions, and I've gotten a lot. Got a lot of feedback over the past week from people talking to me about, you know, what to do. We are going to put together a steering committee. So there'll be four or five podcasters that have shown the most input. I'll be going to be starting that steering committee here in the next week. But really what it boils down to is it can't be the same. It can't come back and be the same. It can't run the same way that it has in the past. And that's just the way it's going to have to be. And it has to, in order to grow, it's the same. Now, there's, you know, some folks in the chat room right now that are in charge of another award system. And boy, I'm going to tell you, they did a great job. Not begrudging anything they do. Matter of fact, let me show you guys something. Let me turn the camera here. You know, what do I have? I've got, you know, the stuff from the Podcast Hall of Fame and what those guys have done over there right up on my monitor. So, they have done a fantastic job, but their awards are, again, a little bit different. It's done by the podcasting community at large. It's not a listener-driven event. It's a podcaster-driven event. And it's, you know, it's a, they're doing a great job, and I'm not begrudging anything that they've done, and I hope they do absolutely fantastic with it and continue to grow. But I think the genesis of the podcast awards has always been a, listener-driven event, not a podcaster-driven event. So many awards, even look at the Academy Awards. You know, they've often been accused of, you know, and everyone, well, let's just say the Academy Awards has its own issues. I'm talking about the movie
Academy. Yeah, the Oscars, not the Academy of Podcasters.
No. The Oscars. They've had their own issues and, you know, scandals and pay to play and all that stuff that's come up. So no real system is perfect. There's just no perfect award. It's impossible to do something that will satisfy everyone, no matter what. But I do think that there has to be, at least from a genesis of the podcast awards, until we find someone that is really willing to step up. And I mean by step up, it's, you know, this is, you know, that step up in a, in with the ability to invest in the awards. You know, we're not going to make any, I think at this point, we're going to try to regroup.
Well, it's a lot of work, you know, for everybody involved with it.
And I think the buyer that took it over, you know, found out how much work it really was. You know, I think they were astounded by the amount of work. And as I've always said, it takes 4 to 6 weeks of my time that I don't have. So that is part of the reasons for some of these changes that we're going to have to make. So
yeah, I helped with a couple of the categories last year, and I was like, geez, you know, with all these categories and then all the nominations and I mean, just all the back end stuff, you got to have a lot of volunteers, a lot of coordination.
Right.
And, you know, that takes time.
I figure 8 hours per category is probably the time invested. And, you know, and people are always coming back and saying, well, the system was flawed. Well, you know, there was a process, and the process ended up putting together a pretty good slate every year.
No process is perfect, and, you know, you always can improve it.
No. So what we are going to change, we're going to change the rules. And the rules are largely going to change to try to eliminate. We have to be able to recognize fresh blood in the system. We have to be able to recognize shows that have been working hard. Some shows have a knack of just winning the awards based upon how it was structured year after year after year. And you got to, you know, a testament to those shows for doing a great job and turning their listeners out. But that has to change. So some of that rules change will be, you know, some things dealing with repeat winners in all categories. So, you know, there'll probably be a rule, I would assume, based upon the steering committee's suggestions, and that we will probably come up with a rule that no show can win 2 years in a row. But at the same time, we don't want to disenfranchise the shows that couldn't win that year. So we'll involve them in some way in the process. You know, maybe do it like they do with the Miss America pageant. The prior winner will come on and introduce the new winner or something to that effect. So, yes. You know, we'll do something to embrace the past year's winners and get them involved as well. We're going to change the categories. Categories are due for an overhaul. I would expect a couple of categories going away and maybe a category or two being added. But really the challenge is each category, from a cost perspective, I did the math out, and I used to think it was, you know, cost of the trophy, you know, plus, you know, some admin overhead. But when I really got back and looking at the books from previous years, you know, each category is probably $700-$800 to support. And that's what it costs to really run one category. That includes trophy. That includes a very minimal amount for each server. You know, it's hard to believe that it would be that much. Now, costs would go down as we add more categories, but we're going to have to be very, very careful. Again, it's a time. A time issue, right, Mike? If I had 10 categories and we need, you know, more
volunteers and, you know, more incentive for the volunteers, you know, it was great last year, you know, with helping them out, but
and they did it different. They had podcasters do the grading, and right. In years past, I had listeners do the grading. I never had podcasters doing the grading. Yeah, so
the one of their rules, I think, was if you were a podcaster, you couldn't be in the category that you judged,
yeah,
or whatever, or evaluated. It wasn't really judging, but
so that's all going to have to be talked about. You know, we got to figure out a way that's sustainable over the long haul to be able to do those reviews and get the shows, you know, in a timely manner in a couple of weeks, get things turned around and not have 8 hours of work. Do a single category. So there's going to have to be some discussion about that. Along with that, it's, you know, we have to decide, are we going to keep it at 10? Are we only going to, or we have 5? Or do we want to move it to 20 as far as number of shows that can get nominated? So we have to look at that number. What else? There's just a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, do we want to add a peer nomination period? You know, I don't know. If that's open for discussion, but you know, we have to think of a way to do that. And it's so, you know, the problem with the peer situation is then we're getting into someone else's territory, and I don't want to really infringe on the other awards and what they're doing and how they are doing their thing. And
well, the original name of this one was the People's Choice, and it's not the same as the Academy of Podcasters.
No, and I want to make sure that it stays the People's Choice. You know, oftentimes folks complain about the voting in the podcast awards. We can talk about that a little bit too, but you know, we're gonna have to go through that nominated show review process, how we're gonna do that, slate determination. And then, you know, I've for a while been talking about doing a show called Podcast Legends. And I thought, is this a way to essentially retire a show from getting awards? We've got some great shows that have won year after year. They will probably continue to win year after year if we don't invoke some sort of a podcast legend, some sort of a, basically a, an award where basically you win that year, you're done. And, you know, will that take away from things? I don't know. How many of those do we do? And again, it, I want it to be a little different in that, there's some sort of a profile and a, you know, like, where we have a part of the site that will have these long-term podcasters that will have these great interviews to go along with it. So they'll basically have a permanent presence on the website, have a profile bio, something that, you know, basically can live in perpetuity on the website and recognize them for, you know, having one, I don't know, three, four, five, whatever the number we come up with. It has to be some sort of process that's not arbitrary where we're just picking. I don't want to do that. I think there has to be some criteria for a show to, you know, that they have to achieve to become, quote unquote, a legend, so forth. But that's, you know, that's part of it. And also, you know, I really weighed, we, for years, we've had certain shows that were nominated and won, who I have never, ever received an email from. I have trophies here from years past. They never were able to be contacted. They were never able to be shipped their trophy. And, you know, what is the use? Let's be honest. That's just stupid.
Yeah, maybe have it so that if a show's nominated, they have to contact, you know, get in contact with the awards to say that they want to participate. And that way, if they don't contact you, they don't want to participate, so therefore they're not up for voting.
Well, I thought of it maybe a little different way too. So the site needs, man, the site's on 11 years, dude. 11 years of it needs like a revamp, like it's nobody's business. And I reached out and got a couple of quotes, talked to the original coder of the site, said, what's it going to take to do this thing right, you know, to redo it, have something that we can live with for another 10 years, easy to update, incorporate some of these new rules. And then, you know, I got bids back between 15 and 25K. And so I'm thinking to myself, I'm not paying for that. I've already paid for this thing out of my pocket for 11 years for a lot. You know, there was some years we didn't make enough money to pay for trophies. And, you know, this was not ever.
Right.
This was never a money-making thing. Let's just be straight up about that. So have some sort of open accounting process where we account for every dime and maybe implement a registration process. So, you know, maybe very minimal. Podcaster wants to participate, and it doesn't guarantee nothing. It just basically says, yes, I want to participate and or support. And make it a $20 or $30 registration fee. And only those shows that register can be, will be considered for nomination. Now, people are going to, oh my God, I can hear it already.
Make sure your email box is empty.
You know, people sure will be pissed. Yeah, this is just a money-making thing. I can hear it already. And it's people that won't ever have listened to this, will never listen or read the background, will never, they'll just come to the site and say, this is just a money making thing, you know? And, so there's that option. There's a GoFundMe option where we, you know, we set up a GoFundMe fund and try to raise the $15,000 to $25,000 we're going to need to revamp the site. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll find a benefactor that will come in and say, I'll code it for free. I don't think we'll find that, because that's always, someone always wants something in return.
And that's an ongoing thing. So, you know, it's not like you code it once and leave it for 11 years.
Well, that's pretty much what we, well, we tweak the code every year, a little bit, added here or there. So, you know, that, that's a big part. But there's two elements that have to remain. They can't change. Number one, the nomination process has to come from the listeners primarily. if we want to add a weighting factor to peer, some sort of peer nomination, that's fine, but it shouldn't count as much as a listener nomination. And then the voting process, and a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to do vote them every day. Why do you vote every day for 15 days? If it was just a straight up vote, we could just take the number of nominations and say you won.
Right. Cause yeah, there's shows out there where, you know, they can get their listeners to do stuff maybe once, but the trick is to get them to do it for 15 days straight.
And, you know, and it's annoying. We all know it's annoying, mm-hmm. but there's a reason in it for the method for the madness is number one is shows engagement. Number two, it gives shows that are smaller the chance to win because the spread between number one and number 10 are usually pretty big in the total number of nominations they've got. So I've seen shows that got, you know, barely made the cut, maybe was the 10th guy to make the slate, win the overall thing because his audience came back and at least voted for him, you know, two or three times during the 15-day period. Very few, very, very, very few. But there is a hardcore that what they in the radio they call the P1 listener. Mm-hmm. Those folks come in and they try to vote multiple times a day. So I don't know, Mike. You've seen it for a long time. What would you like to see change?
You know, the basic structure of it seems to be all right. But yeah, the peer nominations might be something good, you know, for maybe each genre of podcast, you know, like, you know, say podcasts about podcasting, you know, and we won't have a category for that, but, you know, say one of the other podcasters about podcasting nominates a new media show. And I assume since you're going to be running it, this wouldn't be eligible, but,
right.
You know, just in a perfect world, maybe that counts a little bit towards the nomination, you know, say if you have a couple of ties there, you know, if you get more peers.
Or do we have a single category that's just dedicated to that?
Yeah, that's a possibility. Or, you know, the peer award for, you know, people, you know, podcasters nominating podcasters.
So here's the challenge for season. Please add a social and culture category. So I think there is a culture category already. We'll have to look. Right. But here's the problem. Is the folks that want these extra categories willing to go out and raise $1,000 every year or for at least the first couple of years to support that category? You know, I've asked that. People ask me, we want this extra category. Will you go out and help me raise the money that we need? Because remember, each category costs, you know,
$800 to $1,000.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, they have that Daniel, I think. Somebody said in the chat room they have a culture and arts category. So that's probably the same sort of thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's a...
Maybe rename some of the categories.
And what we did is we took these categories from the top level of iTunes. These are the top level iTunes categories. I think one
exception is... Have they changed those much?
I don't think so. I don't think there's been a... We'll have to look. We'll have to marry them up. But I don't think there's a... I think they still marry pretty much the iTunes categories. LGBT is one category that was a little bit different. I don't think so. I don't think there's a specific category in iTunes for that. But... So it's you know, it's tough. It's a tough thing. And to be honest with you, it took me a long time to decide whether or not I wanted to do this again. Because I just, you know, because what ends up happening is we don't get support from the other podcasting companies because they think Todd, because I'm CEO of Blueberry, Stack the Deck, and let Blueberry shows win. Well, I'll be honest with you. The Blueberry team doesn't have time. Yeah. They don't have time to deal with this.
We're a small outfit. So,
you know, and I brought it up to my team and said, you know, I'd ask, gave them the opportunity. You know, do you guys want to take this thing over and make it part of our infrastructure and come up with, you know, make it ours? And they said, no, 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 no. You know, they did that. You know, they said no. So, you know, that, you know, that's kind of where we're at on this. But in order to make this work, we're going to run it again this year on the same infrastructure, come up with these new rules. We may have to do 2 years of rule tweaks. The site may not support all the rule changes we want to make in the first year. And if we're able to raise the money that we need to rebuild the site, we'll do that. If the community doesn't come out and support and help us raise the cash, then maybe number 11 will be the last. And we'll just say that's it.
I'd hate to see it go away. You know, if there's support for it out there, that would be great, you know, to keep it going. But, yeah, I can understand, you know, you got to take a lot of time out of your schedule to deal with it. And well,
whatever's done in the new system will eliminate that.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah, because the new system is, you know, we have to make this so it's easy to grow. And Daniel, I'm pretty sure it aligns with the iTunes categories. At least it did at one time. You know, I will have to go back there and look at the top level down, but it was pretty close to the iTunes categories. So my thought was that we'd get rid of, and I've already gotten some people complaining about this, that we'd get rid of best produced. That's always been subjective at best. So that was a top one. That was a top category. We'll get rid of best video podcast. We'll get rid of those two. And we'll keep people's choice. We'll keep that one. And that allows me to make one of these categories, the best produced or the best video podcast, another subcategory. We need to do that. Or we make that a, you know, podcast legend or whatever we want to make that category. So that's where people, and basically they'll, that list would grow or whatever over time, because it would take them off the, they wouldn't be able to win in any other category. So it's all good. If, you know, Gary, to answer your question, it'll have to be online. There's no venue, you know, to do the awards. And,
maybe we could do it on Blab.
No, we're not going to do it on Blab.
Just kidding.
You know, we'll do it like, you know, and we had, you know, 23,000 people that tuned in to the last online awards. So, you know, it's not like it's not attended online. So there's no reason why we can't do it live. And it's easier to get people in. But the main thing is I don't want no shows. I don't, if when someone, when the guy from comedy, if they're not available, you look, let's be frank. What the podcast movement folks did, fantastic. The folks that won that weren't there, they had a 1 or 2 minute video, graciously accepting. The guys to be applauded. They did a great, great job. And, you know, so let's be frank. Oh, what happened to me?
Hey, you're still there.
Oh, that's weird. On my screen, it went dark.
Yeah, you're standing still. So we got a still shot. Huh. And it's not a bad still shot. So.
Oh, that's odd. All right. So let me dial back in. That's odd. All right. Hang on.
Okay.
Let's see if, hope this doesn't close.
It won't. If I stay in, it won't. So now I can talk about him when he's not here, right? No, he's probably listening.
All right. Yes, I was listening. So, you know, I think we're just going to have to see what develops. And with the community support, we'll be able to, you know, we'll be able to, you know, continue the tradition. Yeah, if I had not gotten emails from people saying, you know, why, where, how come, please, you know, I probably wouldn't have considered this.
Mm-hmm.
So if all those people that, you know, if every if every one of those people that emailed me contributed $100, man, we'd be good, you know.
Right. Let's see. I think, you know, I think the crowdfunding thing might be the way to go. You know, it just as, you know, if you do support it, support it. And, you know, that way, you know, the, if, you know, as long as all the accounting's open and all, you know, everything's open about, you know, what goes where, you know, not, there's nobody getting rich over it. That might be well worth it.
You know, and, we've been pretty transparent in the years past about, you know, what trophies cost and all that stuff. And they've went up, you know, it used to be like, 4K. And then, you know, over 10 years, the price has almost doubled. I think my last bill was almost, a little over $7,000. So, you know, that, so I like what 4C says. Each podcast name should give two videos, one accepting award and one saying thank you for the nomination. I like that. Yeah. But that's the problem is if you nominate them, they're on the slate. they're on the slate. You can't demand them to do anything. You know, that's the problem. So I thought this is the reason why we would do the registration process and ask for a nominal. And maybe it's not $20. Maybe it's 10. You know, to ask, at least then I know that they're listening and that they are engaged in the process, and are going to respond to emails that we send them saying, hey, you know, you're on the slate. But typically we don't let them know they're on the slate until the slate announcement. But, you know, maybe that has to change. I don't know. We'll just see.
Right. Well, you get a steering committee together, and I'm sure there's, you know, a lot of people that'll come up with good ideas, and hopefully they're ideas that can be implemented.
Yeah. And this is going to be fast, too. This got to be done by April 1st. April 1st is the deadline to announce new rules. And it's, and then we have to decide, you know, what we're actually going to go for. And I think on GoFundMe, you, whatever you raise, you get to keep, don't you?
Yeah, if you raise up to your goal.
One of those sites, you can, whatever you raise, you can use, right?
I'm not sure.
Even if we can get part of the way there, maybe we can, you know, pay half up front the first year and the second year, get the second half, you know? But the site's got to be updated. And, and I'm not paying for it. So as much as, you know.
So we'll use the site you got until such time as you got the money to upgrade. Let's be honest,
the site's, you know, you come to it, it's old.
It's old. Yeah, it's the best of 2006 technology. And just like some other services out there.
I don't have a date for that at this point. Don't worry, we won't conflict with your guys' stuff. No, we wouldn't do that. And then if anyone wants to buy it, write me a big check and we'll just, we can move on.
There you go. You've probably been getting a lot of traffic to your personal company site.
Yeah. For those of you that.
That's actually probably good for publicizing the new podcast awards.
For those of you that don't know, my wife, so the podcast awards and Geek News Central and New Media Show are all owned under my wife's nice company called Podcast Connect at podcastconnect.com. Well, we all know that Apple has their new support site that is at podcastconnect.com. So, I'm getting huge traffic. You know, and that's what this, actually put a note on the website to, you know, thanks for the hat tip to Apple for the traffic. You know, that site used to get a, you know, 100 hits a month if it was lucky. And now it's like, you know, 2,000-3,000 a day. So it is pretty comical.
Yeah. Yeah, that Podcasts Connect thing is, I think that's going to be good for iTunes, you know, for those of us that podcast, you know, because iTunes is still the 800-pound gorilla, so you got to deal with them. So, you know, having a web-based way to do that is, and you can do much more than you could prior. I think it's a great thing.
So let's talk a little bit about, and of course, they talked about this on Ray Ortega's show the other day, and I was on and was having a hard time participating because I was mobile. I think Dave Jackson talked about it on his show. So, it's been talked about a lot. Yeah, hey, Four Seas, maybe the check from Apple to buy the domain would pay for the revamping of the podcast awards. Wouldn't that be cool? it's a laugh. The
or get them to sponsor
that never happened. They would never sponsor. If they did, I would be shocked if they ever sponsored awards. It just they don't like doing anything that can be seen controversial at all. So, but let's talk a little bit about the new podcast Connect, podcastconnect.com website that leads you to basically the Apple site. So, Mike, you been in there very much?
Just a little bit here and there. And, you know, of course, we had to change some things in our documentation at Blueberry to match up with, you know, what the procedure is. So, yeah, I've gone through the procedure, you know, of, you know, looking up the shows and you know, changing the feeds and that kind of thing. I've done a couple of them on mine because, you know, it's amazing how many podcasts over the years I've put in there that have died that are still in that thing. So it was nice to be able to kill off some of those old listings. But I like I said, I think it's going to really help Apple to, you know, because they've got a small team running the podcast thing at iTunes. It's going to help them cut down on a lot of the requests to change the feeds. But the thing about it, you got to be careful, is you can change the feed at iTunes, but that's not going to change the feed for all your subscribers. So, you know, not to get into the technical geeky part of it, but, you know, you've got, you know, you're going to still have to do a 301 redirect or get your hosting company or whatever to redirect your feed when you move somewhere. So it's not, you know, it's not like what FeedBurner used to do, you know, where you could change the feed incoming to FeedBurner and it would change. iTunes doesn't work that way.
So, you know, let's just talk just a little bit more about that. And I'm sure most of the people on this, on Blab, understand this. But if you update your feed URL inside of podcastconnect.apple.com or however you get there to that site, you log in and you find that and you update, you go in and actually change the URL to your feed. Mm-hmm. What you have done is, this really should only be done in two circumstances. Number one, when the company that you're currently hosting with will not 301 redirect your media URL. Number two, for brand new podcasters that may have just got started and said, oh, I shouldn't have been using this feed. I want to use this feed. That's probably the two use cases for podcasters to use that. Otherwise, they should use the tools that are already in the feed to implement the redirect. Number one, set the tags that Apple already has designed to basically tell where the new feed is. So that will update.
That's the iTunes new feed URL tag.
You need to redirect. As you said, Mike, redirect that current feed to the new feed. You know, you should have that new. You can make the change. If you make the change all in one day, in other words, you go to the Podcast Connect site and you update the RSS feed, you better immediately at the same time update your redirect. You put that redirect in on your feed to do that.
Right. Yeah, because new subscribers will get it from, you know, say if you changed it at iTunes Connect or app, whatever it's called, Podcast Connect at iTunes, you change it there, but you don't change it in, you know, do a redirect. All your old subscribers are going to still be looking at the old feed. Any new subscribers will be looking at the new feed. I heard a long-time podcaster
who's been in the business at least as long as I have that was confused about this even yesterday. He's saying, oh, I just changed that and everything. And I said, no. And you, when you subscribe via, if you click on an iOS podcasting, if you subscribe with the iOS app, when they subscribe, they load your feed, your RSS feed into the iOS app. They don't load the iTunes listing. That's why, you know, if you have a problem with your feed or if iTunes hasn't updated, that's why your listeners are still already getting the new show, because it's not going off that master list. Sure. It's going off the feed.
Well, that's one of the big things we get in support all the time. It's you know, the iTunes listing and what your subscriber is subscribed to are two different things. You know, the listing is just a snapshot of your feed the last time iTunes looked at it. Whereas your feed, if it's working right, is updating every time you update it. And so, you know, if I'm subscribed to your show on my iPhone, I'm going to get your new show before iTunes updates your listing almost every time.
And another thing is some of you are finding you can't find your show. Well, what may have happened or what could have happened is that you submitted underneath an old Apple ID. I've seen sometimes where shows now are being found in Podcast Connect with the email that's in their RSS feed versus their email that they use to submit with iTunes. In the early days, you didn't need anyone could submit a feed. Anyone could submit a show. It wasn't tied to the Apple ID, so it kind of went off into Never Never Land. So if that was 5 years ago or 7 years ago or 8 years ago, and you have an email that you no longer have access to that was in your feed that they picked up, you are going to have to actually submit a ticket to get your show reassigned from wherever it is to your current Apple ID. You're still going to have to go into their ticket system. Now, I've got shows that are nowhere to be found, but it's because Tech Podcast has a channel on iTunes. Mm-hmm. And because Tech Podcast's channel and Geek News Central is in the iTunes channel, essentially the same type of, it's not the same interface, is in that channel settings. And if you're a channel owner, you know it because you've got a special login area that Apple has provided you. Not everyone has one. Usually people that have 10 or more shows in a network can get a channel, but once those shows are pulled into the channel, they will no longer be in and available for your editing in the Podcast Connect area.
The individual.
So if you've left a network, you need to contact the network you left and tell them that they need to ask Apple to pull your listing out of the channel and put it back in the normal directory. If you don't do that, it's in that channel and you can't touch it with Podcast Connect.
Right. I've got some clients that I was the one that submitted their feed. So I've got a bunch of their shows in mind. And I don't know if there's a procedure where I can get rid of those and, you know, get it over to them. But I'm sure there is.
I wish I could show my screen here and blab, but, you know, when we ran Podcaster News, I did the same thing. I submitted all those shows. There was hundreds of shows we submitted in the early days for Podcaster News. And all those are dead. And with the exception of one. So I've got this one show in there that the owner is still doing a show all these years later. And I'm trying to figure out how do we get this back to her because it's in my Podcast Connect listing.
Right.
And I've also requested a whole bunch of shows to be deleted that were what they say they actually are not deleting. So I've asked them to be deleted and they're still in my stack. No,
still showing
they're
as active?
Grayed out. They say rejected or deleted. but they're not removing them from the the directory. Now, they say when you delete a show, it shouldn't take too long. But
yeah, I've got a few of those as well. Won't
pop out. Now, here's another thing too, where podcasters are getting screwed. There's about, I think the number we came up with was 21,000 total shows. Well, if you're with Blog Talk Radio, or if you are with, starts with an A, Audio Boom.
Audio Boom,
they used
yeah.
their email address to submit all of those.
Yeah, SoundCloud does that too by default, but you can change that
in
SoundCloud.
They submitted all those shows to iTunes with their email address. So now all those podcasters do not have access to their listings. And we went through hell with one show that just recently left Audio Boom to get basically things updated so that they could control their listing. You know, it's very, very naughty to do this. And it goes back. You know, I've been, man, people have given me, Mike, you've seen it. They've given me so much shit over the years for talking about owning your feed. And they poo-poo me. Oh, it's not a big deal. And then the number of emails I get on a weekly basis back from people saying, oh, you were right. Sorry.
Yeah, I get the same pushback. Well, you know, they say, well, you know, what's wrong with using feed from XYZ service?
You know, the majority of the companies are being responsible and doing 301 redirects.
Sure.
Doing redirects. You know, the majority of them are. But it's just those few outliers that are not. And the only way that can change is if the content creators raise so much hell and start talking bad about them that they do. And usually that's what it takes. It takes customer pressure to make that change.
Yeah. I just heard of one that just started doing it here recently. I won't publicly say who they are,
but they actually started doing redirects.
They just started doing redirects because of people complaining. And you know, I don't understand. I understand it, I guess, maybe, some companies if you email them, if you can even find an email for them, it's like going into a black hole. So, you know, whether those guys will ever
update
anything, who knows?
Charge you to redirect your feed, which is another, and if he's high enough, it's like a couple months worth of hosting somewhere else. So it's another way to discourage people from leaving your service. I consider any of these things where it makes it difficult for you to control your feed a tactic to try to keep you as a customer. And it's just, that's just the way it is. That's what they do. And that's their business model. I don't roll that way. And we never have. So, for good or for bad, good or for worse, that's what we do. And so, I don't know.
Every once in a while, we'll have to move somebody off. I mean, that's just the way business is. Right. People move around, and why make it hard on them? You know, they might be back when they realize that what they had was better than what they're getting.
All they do is provide us a new RSS feed. We paste it into the thing. We say click, and it's done. It's a 15-second evolution to put a redirect in for a show. So it's
right.
And
charging for a permanent redirect, I mean, it's actually cheaper to leave it there. You know, if you took it out in 30 days, you'd have to have somebody go in there and remember to do it and then do it.
The whole discussion we had last week about, a service having 5 or 6 feeds for, a feed for TuneIn, a feed for Spotify, a feed for SoundCloud, a feed for iTunes, a feed for Google Plus. Now you've got, that's just, absolute nightmare from a management standpoint. If you ever want to leave
It's not necessary.
Absolutely not necessary.
Yeah, it's not necessary. Google added some tags specific for Google, but those are additive. They can coexist with iTunes tags.
97% of the podcasters will never need more than one feed. You know, so there's a few that will, and there's reasons for that. We understand that, but very, very few. So, okay, so let's go back to this Podcast Connect and talk a little bit about the refresh button. If you hit refresh, don't just hit refresh. 12 to 24 hours is the timeline once you hit refresh. It's not instantaneous.
Yeah, it's not instantaneous.
There's also the hide podcast, which is similar to the hide tag that's in the iTunes spec, and the delete podcast, which is the same as in the spec. So you can delete and hide podcasts from within the actual the system.
Now, do you know, or does anybody listening know, if you hit the hide podcast, does that just hide it from iTunes? That doesn't hide it from your subscribers.
We need to find a test show and practice on. We need a dummy show to practice that on and see.
Yeah, according to Daniel, he says that it's just from iTunes. And that's how I would have expected it to work, because you're not actually altering the feed. You're altering what iTunes displays in their directory.
So there's a permanent... There's also this mirror URL.
Oh, go ahead.
And so there's a little bit of question on this, and we're waiting for Apple for some clarification, but it says a permanent link to your RSS feed URL. User subscribe to your podcast using the mirror URL are redirected to your RSS feed URL in the podcast app in iTunes. This allows you to change your RSS feed URL without losing user subscribers to your mirror URL. It's like a little bit of double speak there. So we need.
Yeah. And somebody said that's a 302 redirect. So. That right, means it's not permanent.
Get some clarification on exactly going on there. But Dan, you're right. The key phrase is there, users who are subscribed to your mirror. Now, what would have been awesome if they'd have made this so that people in the iOS app, and this is what I'm predicting is happening here. What I'm predicting is going to happen is that this is my prediction. My prediction is that URL will essentially be an internal Apple URL that will be kind of like a master in their iOS app, so that while it redirects to your current feed, if you update your feed at the top, it will update so that the currently subscribed podcasters will update too. I'm thinking we haven't gotten clarification on that yet, but if it did, that would be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome. That way you could just do one. I would say no. Don't trust that URL at this point until we get some clarification from them. But it would be awesome that if you could just change your RSS feed in the Podcasting Net site and everything's done. You don't have to worry about a 301 or nothing. That would be fantastic. But I don't think we don't know yet.
Well, yeah, but that wouldn't cover other apps. That's the other problem. That wouldn't cover, because I listen to most of my podcasts on Pocket Casts, because I've got, various devices and computer, and I like to have everything all synced up. And it does that very well. But I've nothing to do with Apple at that point, other than the devices. But
so...
So I don't think that would, that would get the majority, but some podcasts out there, the majority of their listeners are not on iOS. I mean, I can think of some Linux shows that almost no iOS.
So, if you use that mirror URL in your, now here's the danger. Okay. So let's say, this is Todd's craziness coming out here. But let's say you're a brand new podcaster. You go in there, you submit the URL, and you say, oh, there's my mirror URL. I'm going to use that to submit to put on my website, put submit to all these directories. Well, then Apple is, you're relying on Apple then at that point to never change that.
It'd be like relying on FeedBurner. You know, it's the same, be the same sort of thing.
I hope that it's really designed to help down the road. Currently subscribe listeners to get the correct RSS feed that you're currently using. That's what I'm hoping. So this is a problem too, Bangs. It's same issue that we're having is, and I've got shows that are in networks or in channels. I've got stuff I submitted. Yeah, they're going to have as many tickets cleaning that up as they are anything else.
Sure. So maybe it isn't helping out their.
Well, hopefully they have like a claim show type thing where this is my show. Use the email address in your RSS feed, and they can claim it and automate it so it gets pulled into your Apple ID, current Apple ID. Mm-hmm. But only time will tell on this. I'm going to open up the blab and welcome anyone in. So you're more than happy to jump in and talk about the podcast awards. Come in, talk about. Particular tech issues you're having, talk about the new Podcast Connect site, podcastconnect.com site, and then anything else that's on your mind in those kinds of subject areas here. And here's a question people keep asking me too on this new area. Are they going to get stats? And, I'm going to predict no, based upon what you guys are hearing in the news, what you've seen in from a privacy standpoint, I doubt it. If they do, that's great. Time will tell. Also, many of you have not found it yet, but there's also a help resource that they've added to this. Let's see if you come all the way out. Let's see here, resources and help section. Under the iTunes partners area, you'll see a podcast section that, so if you back all the way out in the Podcast Connect system, you will see in there basically, what have I done? I'm driving while I'm talking here. So.
Yeah, I have that problem at the beginning there. If I try to do two things at once.
It says resources and help. You click on that. That's going to load ability then for you to get news and updates, talking about getting started. There's actually a partner search as well so that all the major podcast partners are on, our podcast companies are on there. Podomatic, Audioboom, Libsyn, Blueberry, Simplecast, SoundCloud. And we have phone support too, but they don't have us down. But there's really, it tells you what each service provides and what they have available. So it's pretty cool. It talks about iTunes tags, advertising innovation, feed redirect, tells you who does and who doesn't, HTTPS, link in show notes, metrics, iTunes affiliate program. And I'm proud to say that we're the only company that has every block checked. Libsyn does accept our iTunes affiliate program as well. Yes. So feed redirect, Simplecast is not. Oh, yeah, they are. They're offering redirects. Who else? Podomatic is. Audioboom says they are. Libsyn, we know, does. We do. But what's amazing here is all these Chinese companies that's on there. And I don't understand why. I think Podbean is listed underneath their Chinese company's name. So I don't know what that is, but there is a bunch of Chinese companies listed here. So I think they listed them underneath their corporation name versus the, but anyway, that's all available in the Podcast Connect area too.
Yeah. Podomatic. I didn't realize that they did hosting.
Yeah. So, I don't know what I don't even know who's behind that.
Right, because everybody that I've dealt with that has anything to do with Podomatic, it's one of those black holes as far as getting any support out of them. But you know, hopefully that's changing.
Daniel's asking about iTunes affiliate, and Angelo says iTunes affiliate is managed by Apple. For questions about that affiliate program, please contact. Most podcasts do not use the affiliate program to monetize. They only use the links so they can provide a one-click subscribe option to iTunes desktop and podcast iOS apps. The term affiliate with Apple may be inappropriate for podcasts, but for apps, books, and music, it makes sense. So again, in the reference of and there is some more to it. Again, you'll have to go and look at the iTunes affiliate program, but we do support their tags. That's how we're able to do the, if you guys go to, let's see here. If those of you that are watching, go to geekmecentral.com/subscribe, and I'll show you what.
Yeah, the iTunes affiliate doesn't mean you're selling things on iTunes and getting a commission. It's not that kind of an affiliate.
Send them to, because that is not updating. Yeah. there's basically a widget. Oh, it's going to pop up. It's just taken a while. Holy cow, it's slow. Yeah, so if you guys go to geekmecentral.com/subscribe and you go to like 3/4 down the page, and it's right below where it says bookmark this podcast. You'll see two widgets stacked on top of one another. And yeah,
go there
slow.
Too. It is slow.
That's being loaded by Google. So Angelo is trying to explain it to me, but those widgets, we support those widgets in PowerPress, and I think that's the reason we got that designation. And let me go to the first. I don't have the page open to edit, but. Go to that page and I'll look at the code that's on that.
Yeah, it's as far as I know, the iTunes buttons on those subscribe links are, that's kind of your listing address.
Yeah.
Or not your subscriber ID.
So let me go here. And what we did, and I think the reason we got that designation is because of that. So let me scroll down to the bottom of the page here. I'm in the. So let's see here. Oh, maybe not. That iTunes tag. Oh, yes. That's what it is. So let me give an example of what this is. This is why we got this affiliate designation. Let me put the link inside the in chat.
Chat.
So we've got the ability to build that box that iTunes will build for you that you can, and basically we baked it into PowerPress so that you can very easily add that, add that official iTunes banner. And that essentially is the affiliate box is what that is. And if you have a book or if you have a radio, that's the same box that is used in, but they included it because we've made it part of our service availability. It's part of PowerPress.
Yeah, PowerPress. Daniel was confused. It's not part of Blueberry.com. Well, it's part
they
of PowerPress.
Because we're the only ones that implemented it and have it available for podcasters to use from within PowerPress. PowerPress, Blueberry, the Apple, it's all the same.
Same thing.
So that's,
Yeah, Yeah. Well, it's nice to have all the boxes checked anyway. Yeah.
But,
I forgot. I was just going to say, you know, for anybody using those subscribe, either the subscribe widget or the subscribe page from PowerPress, to get that iTunes box to show up, you have to put something in the, you know, you have to put that subscribe link. You see that in Todd's example there. It's the link that iTunes sends you when they approved your show. And you put that in the PowerPress settings, and that's what causes that iTunes box to appear. And, you know, because a lot of people, they'll put their regular feed address in there, and that makes the box turn on, but it doesn't work the same way.
And it also will allow you to, you can put that slug or whatever they call that bracket, you can put that on, like, your sidebar, and then use that versus using iTunes icon or something like that. So it's supposed to, you know, have the same colors as your image. You see what it does on my page. So anyway, that's why we got that check block in the iTunes affiliate. And again, for podcasters, you know, you're not making any money with that link, but that's the same type of box you would put on your site if you're trying to promote a book or something like that. It's the same format. I hope that clarifies that for everyone.
And that's right. And I noticed, you know, when this first started with this iTunes Podcasts Connect, when I clicked that, you know, when I click on the link to that on somebody's page, it actually went to iTunes Connect where you logged in, and then it went back to the podcast section. So it's actually part of the same system that everybody uses for app developers and book authors and all that. It's part of that same infrastructure. They just have a subsection now for podcasts.
I've got a developer account. I've got a bunch of buttons on my page that others don't.
Yeah. Right. And I've same here. I have a developer account with Apple. And so it looks very much the same as the developer account.
For those of you that are PowerPress users, that subscribe page is the top portion of that page is auto-generated by PowerPress. You can actually create a subscribe page, and we basically, the very top half of that page is actually the, see if I can go here to view. Yeah, the top half of that, and along with the instructions. Of course, I've got both my audio and video show. All the way down to where it says bookmark this podcast is auto-generated by PowerPress to create this for you.
And a lot of that's editable too. So if you want, so you can edit the verbiage there if you want to, but it gives you instructions on how to subscribe in different platforms. And plus, it has that subscribe box with all the buttons.
So everything below the bookmark this podcast is stuff I added to my page with the player and those two iTunes affiliate boxes, essentially. And it's just what it is. It's for lazy people that don't want to put an iTunes link on their website. Just want an easy way to drop something on their page or in their show notes.
And it looks really good in mobile. I mean, you bring that up on an iPhone or something. Those big buttons are nice and easy to hit, and it's a great, you know.
So Daniel,
it's great for that.
Questions answered.
If nothing else.
All right, cool. What else have we got to go over? So, anyone got any other? Please help me. I'm in trouble. I don't understand this. What can I do to grow my show? Oh, here comes Daniel.
Yeah. Go.
Oh, he's using Cam Twist.
Yeah, nice test pattern. You don't see those test patterns anymore on TV. Of course, you know, we're old enough, we remember when the TV transmitter would get shut off every night.
Do you want more crazy Todd theories? Oh, I've got a good one. How many of you saw my article over on Jacobs Media? Let's see here.
I did.
HootSuite loaded is what I need. Get my link. And if Daniel starts calling in, I won't see him. Oh, here he is.
He says, oh, always test Blab before joining Blab.
So let me go over here and get the link for this article that we put up.
Hey Daniel.
So,
While Todd is looking for that, something I wanted to point out that I appreciate on the new resources and help is they describe the RSS tags a lot better and use more plain English to explain why something is important.
Yeah, it looks, you know, they actually put some thought into it. You know, I think before that their old resources page there, you know, when they were explaining, you know, the different things, they used way too technical terms and, you know, I'd have customers contact me. What does this mean? And I'd have to go look. Oh yeah. Okay. That's what that means. And I'd have to translate the geek speak.
And that thing too about the explicit tag that was kind of in limbo for a while. It's now much more clear from their resources. They don't clearly say you must have one or the other like we would expect them to, but they do say you can specify the following values. And one of them is no. And no is what we used to use to leave it blank, that there would be no parental advisory tag as well as no clean tag. But now if you use no, that's the same thing as saying clean or false. So it's nice that they clarified that. You could use any one of these values, but this is what it will be tagged as if you use no or false.
And it's also, isn't it also that there's no longer a show or an episode level?
No, you can still have an episode level explicit tag. They do say, yes, this does work at the episode level. And but
I think in some countries it's making your whole show explicit.
Yeah, but they recommend something on that, interestingly. Like under the iTunes block tag, that you can block your overall show from appearing in iTunes. That's the store. Or you can block a specific episode in your feed. And they say, for example, you might want to block a specific episode if you know that its content would otherwise cause the entire podcast to be removed from the iTunes store. So that could be an opportunity where you could block your explicit episode so you don't get removed from those other stores or from the store at all, but your subscribers would still receive that.
So your subscribers in iTunes would still receive that and your subscribers everywhere else would, but it just wouldn't show up in the iTunes listing? Is that it?
So if you have to have profanity in your episode title, this could be a way to do that.
Hmm. Yeah. Why would you do that?
I need to ask you about that. Matter of fact,
if you want profanity.
I just text team said, do we support block at the episode level? So a question, Mike, I was not aware of this. Do you know this?
Status of the embed code is not working when you have the clamor option. I don't remember. I remember Steve brought it up to me before, and I think one of the things that I have on Angelo's list I'm going to give him tomorrow.
So we just released an update on PowerPress earlier this week. So Steve, Mike will get back to you on that, all right?
Yep, I will.
All right, cool. Yeah, and you know, a lot of that, the Clamor plugin is really their plugin. It's not, you know, we gave them the information on how to implement and tie in. We have had nothing to do, you know, we've given some tips on code stuff. So if you see something that's broke, don't be afraid to ping the Clamor folks as well. If you see something you don't like, to ping the Clamor folks.
I haven't used Clamor all that much. I tried it when it first started to get popular and it seemed real clunky. I guess they've made some improvements to it, but I'm gonna have to play with that again. But I've noticed I had another another client asked me about that. There was some reason that the player would go funky when they had that clamor thing enabled, but I think it had something specifically to do with their CSS on their site, because it was causing the player to try to be in two lines instead of one, or something like that, and so he just decided not to bother with the clamor.
Well, you ended up with an interesting tech support call yesterday, something we've never seen before, where a gentleman's template was actually stripping all text from the RSS feed.
Yeah, all the text. Yeah, it was a magazine theme, and it's he's doing it for a client who has an online magazine that wanted to add podcasting. And no matter what we did, we couldn't get any text from the actual blog post to show up in the RSS feed. And what I think is happening is there must be a setting in the theme setting somewhere, or the theme developer has come up with this, but all it does is puts the featured image in there, in the RSS feeds. And I think what they're trying to do is link bait. They want you to come back to the website to read an article. And while that messes up your feed for podcasting, I mean, it still works. You know, his podcast feed still works, but in iTunes or other directories, just has the title and that's it.
It's just the title, and that's crazy.
Yeah, and I went ahead and contacted the people that did the theme and find out if that's intentional or if there's a setting or something. But yeah, I've never heard of that in a theme, and that's one of the problems with some themes. They try to do too much, or not every theme is compatible with every use case. Certain themes may not be podcast compatible.
So anything else that came up that was oh my goodness, what's going on here? Or is it just a standard, little issues here and there, left and right?
Yeah, lately there's not been anything that's jumped out at me. The one, like I said, the one podcast company that I didn't believe had redirects just came out and said they were going to do redirects. And that was kind of nice to hear, because they had a client that was moving from them.
Let's talk.
And she ended up.
Let's talk about the special code we had to put in to be able to migrate folks from SoundCloud. SoundCloud was actually, and this is actually bad for SoundCloud podcasters.
It wasn't. Was it SoundCloud or Squarespace?
Yeah, Squarespace.
Squarespace
is blocking user agents, certain user agents.
Yeah, and if it comes up with WordPress, I think was the user agent Angela was saying, so it's one of them. But when you did the migrate your podcast, which is a new feature in PowerPress that allows you to migrate all your posts from your RSS feed into WordPress from wherever it was, if you're on SoundCloud, it wouldn't work because it was blocking the user agent from WordPress.
Oscar, I know you want to come in. Are you a podcaster? We get a lot of first-time blabbers that come in and try to spam the show. So Daniel's saying SoundCloud RSS feed also does user agent filtering. So basically, what's going to happen then is, if someone is using an app, Oscar, please tell us what your show is before we let you in, okay? So, if they're blocking that, that means they're missing out on potentially missing out on listens, right?
Oh yeah, and because it's not syndicating everywhere it should, but I think that's. It's one of those tactics to keep people on the service.
They were trying to block the us from being able to pull the media, so we had to.
Right, we couldn't. Yeah, we couldn't pull the media or the blog post.
That's what we have Angela for. Ha 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 ha. So if you're on, if you're on there now, we can migrate you now. That's good.
And I thought that was kind of ironic because Squarespace, you know, when they first started out, I remember, you know, oh yeah, migrate from WordPress, and you hit one button, you put in your RSS feed, and it would just, you know, suck all your data into Squarespace. And I think at one time they kept saying that, and if you want to leave, right, it can go back the other way. You know, and maybe they're changing their tune on that, or maybe it's just something specific for podcasting. Because I know they particularly don't like third-party statistics. And we had a couple of clients have workarounds to get our statistics to work partially over there.
Heard about this, right?
And I'm still testing. So we'll find out if it all works.
Which service that we found a new workaround? Squarespace.
Squarespace. Yeah, SoundCloud allows the redirects.
But it doesn't count on page, the player plays. We don't get those. We only get the RSS feed.
Right. Yeah, you just get the RSS. Yeah, just get the RSS. And on Squarespace, it was the other way around. We had a client get it to work, but it was just plays on page that would count, and the RSS didn't count. So it was opposite on Squarespace, but we're working on a workaround for people over at Squarespace. Yeah. It's like my dog's
Daniel,
waking up.
What you're
over
saying
there
is the situation. If a podcatcher is a developer's lazy and he uses some user agent that tries to mask where it's coming from or what type of app it is, they could get blocked on those services. You look at Libsyn, you can't find their app is masked by it looking like it's Apple Core. They don't allow anyone to get statistics on their apps. Yeah, so you're left apps, guessing whether or not you actually have what kind of listens you're getting on their apps over there. So what we try to do is we try to deconstruct folks when we're working on stats. We're trying to make sure that we know what is mapped to what. So in other words, what app is mapped to what user agent, so that we can do the proper reporting in our system. But I wanted to go back. I had put up a link to an article that I penned over on Jacobs Media. And let's see if I can send that again. I think this is the, let me double check. But anyway, I put it up earlier. It's a part of our ongoing Raw Voice Blueberries, ongoing education of the community and of the radio space to make sure that they fully understand that podcast metrics are very viable, work great, has good reporting, as contrary to what's being said in the mainstream press. And as a podcaster, I implore upon you.
Banks, put it up.
I implore upon each and every one of you to support us in speaking out about these articles that are, quite frankly, putting out very bad information. If we don't, the face of the podcasting space is going to be changed. They will, through conjecture and misinformation, for either their or their partner's betterment, force change upon the podcasting space. And we need each and every one of you to pay attention to what's going on in the mainstream, of what's being said, and we need you to stand up and call a spade a spade. I'm going to let each of you come up to your own conclusions of the reasoning for this. But Todd's theory is, again, that it's an attempt to undermine some of the major players in the podcasting space. They're doing podcast measurement and to have it's their business model. So we put up enough stuff already on PowerPressPodcast.com. This article with Jacobs Media, some more stuff coming out in the future. But please, if you have any passion in this, that, you know, we start as a community coalescing around and making sure that this misinformation is nipped in the bud. If you know someone at a major publication that has some influence in being able to get articles up, we encourage you to ask them to write about podcasting, and maybe you can tell your side of the story and ask them to come and ask us for a quote. But it's time that podcasters take back the message of what's happening in the space. You may not care about monetization today or tomorrow, but the way we built this open space is that anybody can participate and build a show and monetize if they so desire. We don't want the doors being shut on the general podcasting space at large. So, Mike, you know that I've, of course, some of the stuff I say privately, I can't say publicly.
Of course not.
But, you know, it's what you know, just from you sitting on the sidelines being a podcaster, what do you think is going on?
Well, I've been into radio and podcasting both, and you know, them coming out and saying that podcast metrics are inaccurate. I mean, even the weblog is more accurate. Just the raw weblog would be more accurate than anything Arbitron or the other, you know, where they send you the dollar and the book.
Right.
You know, okay, there's no way that that's anywhere close to accurate. Not even close. You know, so just the raw weblog off your website would probably give them a better idea than this Arbitron stuff and you know, whatever they've been doing over the years. So, of course, they're going to try to make us look bad, us as podcasters look bad to make whatever they come up with look accurate. And it's, I don't know, I don't know how come somebody just doesn't come out and say this. You know, you think Arbitron was ever accurate? It's not. It's just not.
It was a sample.
You know, I mean, it's accurate, you know, so if you send out 100 books, yeah, you know what those 100 people said they listened to, because I know I got one of those books one time and I had a lot of fun with it.
Me too. I've always, you know. I listened to Geek News Central, I listened to No Agenda, I was putting all these podcasts in and they quit sending me $2 and a book to fill out.
Yeah, they only did that to me once. But yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand how they can say that we're the Wild West, but yet, you know, they don't have any accurate way of knowing. I mean, yeah, you know, their footprint or their transmitter might have 6 million people, but there's not 6 million people listening.
Well, and it's not necessarily the radio folks that are saying this. This is the people in the public radio podcasting space. You know, are podcasters.
Right. They're saying that based on their you know, knowledge of public radio.
Right.
And, you know, because there's just no way that they can get an accurate number of radio listeners. I mean, you know, you go into a shopping mall and they might have a radio station on in the speakers above. And how many people are going to be listening there?
Yeah.
You know, not all, not very many. And, you know, if the ads come on, you know, hopefully they find something else to do. But
anyway, I've got that Jacobs Media piece that I basically wrote the five segments on, and then they did their piece on top. But if you agree with my assessment, please, please, please link to that on Twitter, on Facebook. Make that well known. We want to get as much social media exposure to that article and others that we're putting up. And basically here trying to battle for you. And, you know, I think that that what we have to really do as podcasters is we just got to stand up and get our, you know, let's go, you know, it's time. Let's rock.
Right.
And
hopefully, IAB, hopefully when they come out with that document, that'll maybe everybody will be agreeable to it. And
it's going to help a lot. And his problem is that, you know, I laugh because I talk to media buyers. They don't care. So, you know, they don't have an issue.
Yeah, and that's who's, you know, paying. So
yeah,
that's who counts.
Yeah. Well, hey Mike, we're at 90 minutes already.
Yeah, and I've got a bounce here. I've got another phone call here in a little bit.
So, everyone, just remember, we start at the beginning of the show today talking about the podcast awards and the goals there. And much to the chagrin, I'm sure, of some folks, I'm retaking over the podcast awards and maybe happiness to some. But I am going to need as many bodies as possible to help us get this thing relaunched, to be able to do it right, to raise money. That's going to be the big thing. And so it is going to be look like we're going to be trying to reach into people's pockets this go around as much as we can. And that's because we've got a goal. But we'll get a GoFundMe page going up and get the steering committee set up the next few days. And then by April 1st, have new rules, guidelines, review process, the new categories announced, everything that's going on. Let me see who this is. Mulva Joe, can you let us know what your podcast is before we invite you into Blab? We've been getting a lot of spammers have been coming on. Be happy to invite you if you tell me what the name of your podcast is and give me the address, or if you're a listener. So,
yeah.
But Duncan Trust Hold Family Hour. So go ahead. And Mike, if you need to bounce, I understand, but I will take Duncan here. Go ahead and we'll take this.
All right. I'll hang for a second.
Noise.
Hey. Okay. Here we go. Of
Looks
course. Well, you know, it's that's pretty typical these days. What was he trying to accomplish?
Who knows? But you remember that chat thing that came up? This was probably 10 years ago. It was when Tech TV was still on, and there was some sort of chat, like chat roulette or something. I forget what the name of the thing was. And of course, there was, you know, flashers that you'd get on there.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to end up getting like, genitals or something, you know. So
yeah, well, that's not what we need on Blab. So,
all right, we're going to end the show here, but gotta love it, Blab spammers.
Yeah, they're, you know, anywhere that could be spammed will be spammed.
That's right. All right, everybody, thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the New Media Show. Of course, check out the New Media Show at newmediashow.com. Please subscribe over there so that you get the podcast if you missed the Blab. And then, Mike, where can they reach you for your podcast and if you need support at Blueberry?
There you go. It's podcasthelpdesk.com for the podcast. And if you need any help with Blueberry stuff, just use the contact form at blueberry.com. And usually I get it, or Sean, or sometimes Todd.
Yep. Or the forums at forum.blueberry.com as well.
Right.
And of course, if you want to reach me, it's todd@newmediashow.com. Of course, Rob's not here, but his email address is rob@newmediashow.com. At Rob Greenlee on Twitter. I'm at Geek News on Twitter. So everyone, thanks for being here. We'll be back next week. Rob will be back from Proclaim 16. We'll talk about that show and more next week.
And I'll be on the road back from Columbus, probably.
Yes, you will. You're going down to do a emergency repair on the
studio.
Mackenzie has turned the knobs too many times, I think.
Yeah, well, we'll get her straightened out, and hopefully we've got another plan. So,
all right, everybody, take care. We'll see you next time.
All right, see ya.